Anyone hear about that news article? They found millions of birds downtown at the Capitol, all dead, all over the ground. They died of starvation. Anyone hear about that? Well, actually, it never happened. You know why? Because it's never going to happen. Because Jesus said, God feeds the birds. You know, they eat more than we do, and there's more of them than we are. And God feeds every one of them. Jesus said, they don't toil or sow or reap, and yet the Heavenly Father feeds them. And he says, but you, he's trying to make a point. He says, you have more value than many sparrows. In other words, he's trying to say, don't sweat it. You're going to get fed. You're going to get blessed. You're going to get your needs met. Sorry I had to trick you like that, but I got my point across. Now let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, let those who hear my voice open their hearts and help them to go to a new level, a new plane of thinking and of faith. We love you, Lord. Anoint the words. Let me say what you want to have said and hold back what you don't want said. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, I'm going to talk here about finances. And some people call it prosperity teaching, but that's not what I call it. The reason I don't use the word prosperity, although it's a very scriptural word, prosper and prosperity are both all over the Bible, I'm going to call it abundance. God is a God of abundance. And He made us in His image. And the first man, Adam and Eve, they lived in abundance. In other words, what we were created to be was to live inside of, within abundance around us. We weren't created for lack. Does everybody get that? That was God's plan, and that was His perfect template for man at the beginning, was man was created as a very abundant being. God is an abundant being. The streets in heaven are made of gold. On the gates of heaven, there's rubies and jaspers and diamonds, and you know, and Jesus, who John the Apostle saw in the book of Revelations, right now, or not now, maybe not now, but when he saw him in his glorified state after his death on the cross, resurrection, and going back to heaven, Jesus appeared to John, and he had a belt buckle on him that was like a big piece of gold, like a dinner plate. You know, God is luxurious, but He's not wasteful. And God lives in abundance, and God is an abundant God. You got to get that through your head, that God is full of abundance. And He created us for abundance. And I believe it's very biblical that we pray for God to bless us and bless us with our needs. And then God will go beyond our needs because He loves us to our wants. And go way beyond that to our dreams. You know? And a lot of people have trouble with all this because somehow in the Christian faith, centuries ago, this piety of the vow of poverty got in. But you know, I'm going to show you tonight in the Bible, poverty is not of God. And wanting to be impoverished so because you think it pleases God is like a religious heresy in my opinion. Now, we're not supposed to walk in greed, live in greed, but I'm going to show you that to think abundantly and to walk in abundance is God's way and it's His will. Doesn't mean He's going to just drop it out of the sky on you. Okay? Although it could happen. but that's not his way. He's going to work in you and with you and through you to come to bring you to abundance. But someone told me once, they said, hey, quit trying to find a mystical God and look for his ways and you will find God. So tonight, I'm going to talk about God's ways in the hopes that those who are listening to me can find God in what I'm talking about and God's solutions and his blessings. So, let's look at John 10, verse 10. This is Jesus talking. It's red letters in my Bible. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. There you have the word abundance again. Right? Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. There's the word abundance. God is a God of abundance. Except right here, there's a shift. It's being shifted from God to us. He's talking about us in this. I am come, he says, I have come that they might have life. Who's the they? Us. We're the they. You know, this having his abundant life would be free of addictions, free of substances, free of lack, free of sin, you know, free of earthly entanglements, free of debt, free of financial despair, free of cancer, free of disease. You know, look at, I've come that they might have life. I could preach for 1 hour on this verse. That they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. He doesn't just want life for you. He wants abundant life for us. Isn't that exciting? I mean, that's the heart of God. You want the heart of God? What's the heart of Jesus? What is Jesus saying? That's what God the Father is saying. Everybody see that? God is the image of the Father. Jesus is the image of the Father. Jesus says, I say what the Father tells me to say. I do what the Father shows me to do. This is from God the Father right here to you, that you would have an abundant life. And included in abundant living is finances blessed. I don't mean so filthy rich that you go off the deep end like lottery winners do. The Bible has things to say about wealth hastily gotten. Will not be blessed in the end. The Bible says that. God warned on that. So you know what? I never have ever played a lottery ticket. I might have played one that someone gave me, but I never bought one. I never wasted a dollar. Because I don't want to win it. Because God can't bless it. He said, wealth hastily to God will not be blessed in the end. But wealth gained little by little will be blessed. That's God's way. You said, I told you I was going to give you God's ways here so that you could find God. Because the man of God I quoted to you, don't keep looking for a mystical God. Look for God's ways and you'll find God. So we must get his ways in our hearts and our minds and our bodies and our thinking. That's what we must do. And I'm telling you, God's ways only give blessings. They don't give you a curse. Your life will not go down the tubes with God's ways in you. If you look at verse 11, he says, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You know what? It's the cross of Calvary, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that bought our right to have an abundant life. So this abundant life would never have been available unless Jesus had died and rose again and gone back to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit back, and now we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit with Jesus, our big brother. In other words, God says, this is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased, and God just gave him everything. And he is our big brother. Our big brother owns everything. He's the Lord of heaven, of earth, and of hell. And He owns everything. Jesus owns everything. And you know what? In ancient Israel, they would, the father and mother, when they would pass away, they would leave everything to the oldest son, who then had a responsibility to make sure everybody else was blessed. All the younger ones. And help them get homes and professions. And you know, he was carrying out a big responsibility for his father. And that's exactly what God did here with Jesus. He's the older brother. The Bible says he's the firstborn of many brethren. Now he's a son of God, and I'm a son of God. Everybody see that? My wife and I are a son and a daughter of God. Because he's my brother. And it's our Father who art in heaven, Jesus' Father and my Father, same Father. And he's the firstborn. And he has the firstborn blessing. Not only was he given all things, all wealth, all the wealth of earth and heaven, everything, but he was also given all the heathen of the whole earth for his inheritance. But he doesn't have them yet. And that's our job. He's getting more and more every day. His kingdom grows every day and Satan's kingdom shrinks every day. People are repenting out of Satan's kingdom and into Jesus' kingdom every day. And when they do that, they are rebelling against their old master who taught them to be rebellious. And their final act of rebellion to him is to come to God. Let's go on. I want you to go to Luke 4. Luke 4, these are more words of Jesus. And in this particular case, Jesus is talking. Jesus is actually quoting a scripture which is found in Isaiah 61. If you want to write that down, if anyone's taking notes, Isaiah 61 is where this is found. And Jesus is re-quoting it here. And Jesus says, this verse 18, Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And by the way, if anyone's listening by a recording device or internet or CD, get your Bible. Follow me in the Bible. You need this today. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recover His sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And I just wanted you to see here that Jesus has a list here of some of the blessings of Calvary and His cross and His redemption. You know, the whole reason Jesus came was to destroy the works of Satan. The Bible says that. In our lives. And some of the works that there's a list here, if you follow with me, he's going to preach, the very first one on the list, is he's going to preach the gospel to the poor. What's the word gospel mean? Good news. There's only one thing that could be good news to the poor. Huh? Besides spiritual. Because there's a these are physical benefits here. Blessings. Needs met. Yeah, food. Blessings. Needs met. Pay your cell phone bill. Get your bank account into the black if it's upside down and overdrawn. It's like he has an... I mean, I want to see the Word of God at face value. I don't want to read a bunch of stuff, religious stuff, into the Word of God. I want to see what it's really saying. And it's saying here, "He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Now, there is such a thing as being poor in spirit, all right? But I don't believe that's what he's talking about here. Because look, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Heal the brokenhearted. Okay? Well, to me, that's the poor in spirit, right? So, look, to preach deliverance to the captives, that's the alcoholic. That's the addictions. That's the bondages. Mental bondages. Financial bondages.
Jesus is sent to preach a captive.
I'm here right now preaching the good news to all of you. And on this device here too, to get out the word.
And so to preach deliverance to the captives,
recovery of sight to the blind. Now, captives had a double meaning. It could be someone going to hell. They're captivated to go to hell.
Blind, recover his sight to the blind.
He came healing all the blind. And then he's healing the blind, but he's also opening eyes to see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And he purifies our hearts so we can see God. But you know, to me, this is a double meaning, and it means both. It's the physical and it's the spiritual. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. Oppressed means downtrodden, out of work, broke, homeless. I mean, in the gutter. You know, downtrodden. To set at liberty. You know, God's highest calling, I believe that God's highest calling for all men and women on earth is liberty and freedom. And I don't just mean political freedom, but that's part of it. I mean freedom to be a son of God, free from sin and free from destructiveness in your life. And free from lack, and free from debt, and free from sickness, and free from disease. To set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord means all debts canceled, all sin canceled. Good news from God on everything. Anything Satan did on the earth, good news from God, I'm here to end it.
So when he comes to preach the gospel to the poor, there's a double meaning. Poor meaning going to hell. Poor meaning
blessings. You can have financial blessings. This is not an evil teaching. This is a holy teaching. You know what? I told a young man once, I said, listen, you know, tithing is a Christian practice. I'll tell you right now, I believe all believers should pay an offering and a tithe to God. It is a godly Christian practice, and it is an Old Testament practice. And the Jews practice it to this day. And if you want to know about the Jews, I mean, I'm telling you, they run the world financially. Anyone know that? They sit on the boards, they have the money, and you know, they're being blessed. You know, I read some statistics recently that the Nobel Prize has mostly been won by Jewish people, and they make up such a small percentage on this earth. It shouldn't be so, but they're blessed with creativity and entrepreneurship and wisdom. And, you know, like Hollywood. Hollywood is run by a lot of Jews that are into the directing, the producing, the money flow, what we watch. Example, three movie moguls in the 90s came together. Steven Spielberg, Jeffrey Katzenberg, and David Geffen. And they created DreamWorks. Now we've watched hundreds of movies from DreamWorks. These guys just get richer and richer. Oh, wait. All three Jewish names. You know? And it's like this. If you looked at Fortune 500 magazine, and you'd be amazed at how many Jewish names you would see. If you go through Hollywood, and if you just watch the credits of the TV and movies you watch, look at the Jewish names. You know? And what I'm saying to you is, God bless the Jews. We're called to pray for Israel. God said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But you see, our oldest brother is a Jew. You see that?
everybody see that? Okay, so I was talking to this young man, and I said, you know, so if the Jews have been really blessed in tithing, I think Christians ought to get a clue. I mean, but it is a command of the Bible to give a tenth to God. Even Adam had the tithe. When God said, don't touch that tree was the tithe tree. And, you know, so Adam used God's tree that he said, don't touch. And that's, you know, when we get 100% of money and we don't give some to God, we're touching the tree again. And there's a curse that comes with not being in God's system of tithing and giving offerings. There's a curse that comes on your life. I told this young man, I said, listen, what you don't tithe to God, you will tithe to Satan. He says, how do you mean? I said, because when you're not living for God, you're living for Satan. And you know how expensive it is to live for Satan? God just said, give me 10%. Satan wants between 50 and 95% of everything you have. He says, really? I say, okay, let's do the math. And I'm talking about young Adam here. You know, you all know Adam. He's my son in the Lord. All right? Adam Hull. We sat there, and he was on drugs and alcohol last year. And God freed him last Christmas. He's miraculously walking with God right now. And he's blessed. And you know what? We said, let's pretend you have $1,000 a month income, and you had it then, and you have it now. We started figuring out the liquor bill, the drug bill, the crack, or whatever, the meth, or whatever it was, this, that, women, this, that. We added it up. You know what? We came up with $460 out of $1,000 to run with the devil and live in sin. You know? Especially, you know, this is not far-fetched. I mean, you got guys out there on the street and they're drinking as much as they can panhandle. So if you, truth be known, they're probably spending 98% of their income on alcohol. Tithing it to Satan. Because you see, it's like a tithe to Satan because you're not standing up in your righteous place in God. When you go Satan's way, I told you here I was going to talk to you about God's ways tonight. Now, let's take that in God's kingdom. God says, give me a tenth. I'll give you the rest. So, you get $1,000. Now, serving Satan, you put $450 in there if we're going to use this template, okay, out of $1,000. Serving God, you go put $100 in the offering plate or sow it into a good ministry or someone serving God. And guess what? God lets you keep the 90% and He blesses you. And not only did your $100 go into heaven, it went into that church or that ministry, but it also went into heaven. And Paul said, I desire your gift. The Apostle Paul said to some believers, I desire your gift that it might bless your heavenly account. Everything you give is being blessed, is being recorded as an account with God in heaven. The Bible talks in somewhere in Scripture that there's a recording angel that records everything. Everything gets recorded. And so when we give, giving isn't just in money. You give in your love. You give in... You might give a cigarette. You might give a smile. A warm, hope-giving word to somebody that's down and out today. I believe everything, no matter how small, that you give out of yourself is recorded, and God knows. And God is... We're on a sowing and reaping system on the earth. You can be sowing in God's kingdom today, or you can be sowing in Satan's kingdom today. You tear someone down, you're sowing in Satan's kingdom. You harm somebody, you're sowing in Satan's kingdom. But if you sow to your fellow man and love them and bless them, you know what? There were times when my wife and I went to church and we were so broke that I don't know how much the leadership liked it, but we put the pen in the offering because we didn't have two pennies to rub together. Or we would see if we had postage stamps, and we would take a little roll of postage stamps and put it in the offering. And you know, if our country stays in very rough times, we're going to see more of that. You know, chickens in the offering plate, you know. Yes. She gave all she had, that widow. Thank you for bringing her up. She gave all that she had. And Jesus said she was blessed. And she just gave the widow's mites. She just gave a few mites. That's all she had. And she was blessed. And so what I'm saying to you is that what you don't tithe to God, you will tithe to Satan. And so you need to be sober about that, that it's far more economical and prudent to be sowing to God than to be living a life with Satan. Because I don't care what you call it, if you're abusing your body, harming your body, using substances, you are tithing to Satan. And I'm telling you, included in the Satan system is all gambling, in my opinion. So, that's part of Satan's system too. I want you to go to Psalm 34. Psalm 34. You know, there's people listening to me that might have no hope today in their own situation, no hope in a breakthrough. And I'm saying right here tonight, I want to prophesy and speak and teach someone to the next plane of thinking, because the earthly plane of the five senses is not the plane I'm talking about here. I'm talking about getting in God's realm of thinking, on God's way of thinking, in God's heavenly mindedness, and we can do it while we're on earth here. That's why Jesus said, "Thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." God's kingdom is here, and we need to be kingdom minded, and we need to think on the plane of heaven in this earth. And yeah, I know our country's got a lot of problems. And I know a lot of people are upset at the White House, the administration, you know. And all I can say about that is, that's my president, and I'm going to pray for him. I learned that from the Word of God. Pray for those who are in authority. The Apostle Paul says, pray for those who are in authority. So, if you despise him, if you think, you know, he's kind of a leftist, okay, in his thinking, and he needs some godly teaching and revelation, in my opinion, on entrepreneurialness, which is a biblical principle. The entrepreneurial spirit is a biblical principle. But I'm going to pray for him so he's making better decisions. You see, we're supposed to pray for our governor, our president, our mayor. This is godly. Everybody see that? I'm not going to risk my anointing on dashing and ditzing, disrespecting, and tearing down the political powers, because the government does not have any power to deliver us. God, through free enterprise, is our only deliverance, because God created free enterprise. So I'm going to pray and do my part that the balance gets back in this country. But I'll tell you one thing. 5 minutes ago, I said we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. There are some decisions made a number of years ago, probably 3 or 4 years ago, that were harmful to Israel, our ally, by our government. You know, God told Abraham about his descendants, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you." Now you know why I pray for Israel. I'm not going to curse them, I'm going to bless them. God told Abraham, "I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you." Let me tell you something about America and its freedom. In history, America was the first place that the Jews had a refuge to come to where they would not be persecuted. And there's been a time where there were more Jews here than in Israel. And they had freedom of persecution, where they were not killed off like the Holocaust. They had freedom of expression, freedom of free enterprise, freedom of their faith. And America created a haven and a blessing place. Is it any wonder America got so blessed financially? Is it any wonder? Write out the word Jerusalem. Jerusalem, city of our peace. If you write it out and you look in the very center of it, it says USA. Is that an accident? Maybe. I doubt it. So, Psalm 34. Verse 6. The poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. All right. I want to point something out in this scripture. Sometimes when you're reading Proverbs, the writer slips from subject to subject, line by line. He'll be telling you one thing this line and tell you something else that line. But that's not going on here. This is a full thought. It starts out in 6 talking about the poor man, and it ends up in verse 10 saying, but they who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. It ends with lack and poor. And in the middle, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Did you know that the angels of God are there to deliver you from financial destruction and financial woes and financial oppression and debt and fear? The angels of God are there to bring about your deliverance. Did you know that? I mean, in my business, I send angels to bring me customers. They're there for me. They are there. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Anyone listening to me right now tonight, you have angels. If you don't have them working and busy, that's not their fault. That's not God's fault. That's your fault. There are angels. In fact, I'm writing a book right now on angels. I'm really excited about it. God showed me that in the very first few pages of this book that He created the angels for us. He made them first, and He made us next, and He only made them first so they'd be ready there to do their job, which was to serve us. Do you really think God needed any angels to help Him create everything? They really didn't create anything. He did it all. Do you think God, the omnipotent God of the universe, even needs an angel? He created them in preparation for us. They are created beings. And they're mighty. They're powerful. There's some in this room. How many? I don't know. But I know they are there because wherever I go, they come. And I know I have some, but I know some of you people have some too.
The word tells us.
Yeah, the word says it. Word says it, that settles it, I believe it. Now, let me just say a few things about angels. The reason I know they're for us is because the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews 1, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are heirs of salvation? Who are the heirs of salvation? Born again believers are the heirs of salvation. And the angels are sent forth to minister. I mean, it's Paul saying that's what they're for, is to minister to you. And then As an example, Jesus, the first heir of salvation, he's on a fast, and he's starved. He hasn't eaten 40 days. And then when his fast is done, he's weak. And the Bible says, and the angels came and ministered to him. See that? No doubt they brought him some food or something. But you know, in Psalm 8, that's that famous scripture in Psalm 8 where God said, where actually an angel is talking in the book of Psalms. How that happened? Well, David knew what the angel said, and he wrote it in there. And the angel says, "What is man, Lord, that you are mindful of him? You have made him a little bit lower than the angels, a little bit lower than God." The word, it's not angels. Man isn't lower than the angels. That word is Elohim. "You have made him a little bit lower than Elohim. You have crowned him with glory and honor." The angel's sitting here looking and watching man be crowned. And there's an angel watching. Who's it? Who is it? Gabriel? Michael? I don't know. And he's going, "Lord, you're crowning him with glory." And if you go look up that word, it means encircle. God encircled man in glory. The angel goes, "Wow, he's got the glory of God on him. Lord, what are you doing? Who is this guy?" And God says, "Well, you're my created being, but this is my son. Adam is my son. My heart is in it. My heart goes out to Adam and Eve more so than any angel." And so it's like, okay, what do these angels do? It says in Psalm 103, they excel in strength. They heed the voice of the Word. The angels heed the voice of the Word. You know what? God is... guess who's speaking the Word of God on earth now? Us. And what does God say about our finances? He meets all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4. If God is for us, who can be against us? If Jesus says, if He will feed the sparrows, will He not also take care of you? All I need is faith. All I need is to... and I'm telling you, faith is always voice activated. You can't think your faith. The Bible teaches that. Therefore, you declare, God meets my needs. This situation turns around today. I am a blessed man. I have what God says I have. I don't know where people go when they're getting, when they're so locked in their five senses. You know, they're staring at the checking account. They're staring at the lack of money. They're staring. The five sense realm is not in God's realm. It's in Satan's realm. And if you're looking at things, we don't look at things temporal or earthly. We look at things eternal and heavenly. Corinthians. And you know, so we don't stare with our five senses, because that isn't what God wants us to do. And I'm telling you, let me tell you now, there were 12 spies in Israel that were serving Moses that went and scouted the promised land. Everybody remember that story? And these spies, they came back and they all had a report. And 10 spies said, "Oh no, there's giants over there. We can't do it. We can't take that land. We need to get away from here." And 2, Joshua and Caleb, said, "No, we can do it. Let us go up at once and possess it now." And what was Joshua and Caleb thinking? There were giants in there. Here's a ragtag people out in the wilderness with Moses. You know, women, children, and there's all these soldiers and giants and people in Jericho. And the two guys are saying, "Let us go up at once and possess it." They were factoring in the God factor, the anointing factor. They were you know what? They were thinking back on the 10 plagues and the parting of the Red Sea. So anyway, what does God say to Moses? He says, "These 10 have given me an evil report." Well, Lord, I don't know where the money's coming from, because I don't have any money.
Lord, I just quoted an evil report because I'm believing my five senses. And I know God delivered me before.
So what is an evil report?
Well, I believe an evil report is not speaking the Word of God and speaking your circumstances and settling in as those are a greater truth than what God has said. And God will not lie. God has spoken that we are blessed, that we have a firstborn brother who blesses us, and we have a blessing. You know what? I can wear old clothes, drive an old car, and have a millionaire mentality because I think like the Word. You can have a millionaire who has everything, and he can have an impoverished philosophy, mindset, and he won't spend a penny. Or will he give anything to anybody? Or, you know, he would never think of charity. And he just shrinks and shrinks and shrinks into the demonic world more and more. Because you know what Proverbs says? It says, the abundant eye is blessed, for he gives his bread to the hungry. In other words, if you've got enough faith to be given away and to be tithing and to be giving offerings and to be helping the poor, that means you know there's more where that's coming from. You have the right mindset. You have engaged the realm I'm talking about, the plane of heaven, the plane of financial abundance of the abundant God of the universe. America may be in want and lack and dire straits tonight, but heaven is not. And God is fully capable of saving America, of saving us, of giving us what we need. And you know what? There are some people out there making a lot of money right now. You know what? If somebody is laid off, they can't find a job, nobody will hire them, they need to get entrepreneurial. They need to go make some money in God. I'm not talking about sticking up 7-Elevens. I'm talking about go get an idea from God. You know, all wisdom comes from God. Witty inventions, the Bible says, come from God. Strategic, witty inventions of how to do something come from God. Christians should be blessed. So the angels excel in strength, and they're here. And they're here to help us. So when we go out, we should expect angels with us. See, Joshua and Caleb, on that good report, on their faith talk, were aware that there was an angel that traveled with Moses and Israel. Because the angels are encamped about the righteous. So I have those angels. And they help me. And they help me prosper. But I need to be aware of them. I need to have a revelation of them. I need to have understanding of them. And I need to work with them. And I need to command them based on the Word of God, because they heed the Word of God. You can look that up in Psalm 103. They excel in strength and they heed the voice of God's Word. And I am God's Word on this earth. I am it. And so are you. So is everyone listening. The believers are the ones who have God's Word in our mouths. The Word is nigh us, even in our heart, and even in our mouth, this Word of faith which we speak. Faith is voice activated. We need to declare our faith. We need to declare the circumstance turnaround. We need to give the holy good report. We need to quit giving evil reports. We need to quit believing what we see. Because what you see does not factor in God. What you see does not factor in His anointing. Doesn't factor in prayers. Now, if you are facing a very serious financial situation, you need to make it a paramount prayer issue. Pray about that and focus on that particular thing and believe you receive the answer, as in Mark 11, I believe I receive it, and then go about your business to accomplish the task, but never speak doubt again. Never speak the lack forth again. Because I'm not talking about denial. I'm not talking about denial. I'm saying this situation I face, I'm not in denial. This situation I face is a smaller earthly truth which must yield to a greater heavenly truth. And I put the heavenly truth over this and I cancel it and I move forward.
So there's not only a knowledge I've given you here, there's a spirit behind what I'm saying. And it's a victorious Holy Spirit conquering Jehovah Nissi, my God who is my victory, victorious spirit coming through what I'm saying. Okay, I'm going to go to another scripture real fast. Psalm 103. Just, we're already in Psalms. I want you, this is where I've been quoting out of for the last 5 minutes about angels. Psalm 103:20. Bless the Lord, you His angels who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you ministers of His, who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Look at verse 21. You ministers of His who do His pleasure. Now let me throw another scripture at you. God takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. And it says right here, you ministers of His, you angels who do His pleasure. The angels do God's pleasure. And His pleasure is our prosperity. And they're created for us. So we need to be really mindful that we are thinking about angels. Okay, now, we're going to be done shortly. I just want to go to Luke chapter 12. Luke 12. Luke 12, verse 22. Just a couple verses here. He says, and He said to them, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body. This is Jesus talking, by the way. What you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? These are the ones that are not down at the Capitol, belly up, dead of starvation. Right? Verse 25, and which of you by worrying could add one cubit to his stature? There you go. You worry, it's an evil report in God's eyes. Sin. Worry is sin. Fear is sin. Fear is not of God. Today you need to say no fear. What's the worst they can do? You know how they say, what's the worst they can do? They can't eat me. You've heard of that. But you know, it's kind of like that even in these financial times. Who are you afraid of? Fear God. Fear that you won't give God an evil report. Keep your lip zipped if you have to speak negative. You know, I believe in positive speech. The man who says he can and the man who says he can't, they're both right. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what the Apostle Paul said. If you go back and read that, which is in Philippians 4, you will find out that that's in the middle of a long discussion on finances, and he's concerned about his ministry budget, and he's talking about people giving to him, and he says right in the middle of that, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So God is going to do exceedingly abundantly. If you're listening to me right now, God is going to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Through Jesus Christ, who strengthens you if you believe and walk forward in faith. And speak faith, don't speak negative. And so, I want you to see Jesus talking, saying what I said right at the beginning. And then if you go over to Luke 12, we're in the same chapter. It's before this one. Luke 12, verse 15. I can't speak about finances without giving you a warning. There is a curb that you need to put on your mind and heart when you deal with God in the financial realm, and not be greedy, not be covetous towards other people's goods, and not think money is your solution. Money is not your solution, it's just a tool. You know, in the 90s, I got a prophecy from a great man of God. He prophesied over me, talked to me by the Holy Spirit. And he said, "Greg, I have brought you to a place where money is nothing more than photos with dead presidents on it. And that's all it is to you, Greg. And because you're in that place, I can use you now with money." That's where we all need to be. Listen to Jesus. "And he said to them, 'Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses.'" Your life is in God, not in what you possess, not in the money in your bank. Your life is in God. And God, you know, that business you have is not your supplier. That job you have is not your supplier. That government check you get is not your supplier. God is your supplier. You need to see, God owns everything on this earth. And if you're getting your little piece of it, it's still God's that you're getting. God, you know, there's resources on this earth. And there's economic and financial systems. And there's a flow of them. And there's no more resources, there's no less resources now than there was, you know, 50 years ago when America was so prosperous in the 1950s and 60s. It's just the flow of the governmental and economic flow that is a little messed up. And you know what? Satan has his hands on the economic system. I call it the Babylonian system of economics. That's what I call it. And God says, you come out of that and you be separate of that. And He wants to bless you. But you know, you have to think the way I'm telling you, in His ways. Using His system is based on sowing and reaping. Giving and receiving. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. You know why? Because the grace of God falls on you when you give. Then you become like the guy who says the abundant eye is blessed because he gives his food to the poor. Why is his eye blessed? Because Proverbs, the abundant eye is blessed because he gives his food to the poor. Oh Lord, let me have an abundant eye. Let me have it for the rest of my life on earth. God has an abundant eye. You know, God made cells. He made pebbles. He made sand. He's got an abundant eye. Lord, let me have your eye of abundance. God feeds the poor. He feeds the birds. God is blessed and He gives. In fact, He gave His only Son. He sowed, you know, God is a sower and a reaper. God sowed His only Son in the earth that He might reap millions and billions of sons and daughters. It's just like a farmer. God's the ultimate farmer. But Lord, let me have that blessed thinking and mentality that I can be so blessed in my mind that I can just go out and give today and every day. And He's watching. It's getting recorded. And He, you know what? I could walk out of my door one morning and trip over a brick of gold. I mean, nothing's out of God's realm. I could translate out of here. You know, you've heard of translation where God moves a person from one place to another by the Holy Spirit. I could translate out of here in 10 minutes and come back in 1 minute with a great big diamond the size of a walnut in my hand. I mean, okay, those are kind of absurd, far-fetched. But you know what? Anything's possible with God. All things are possible to those who believe. And anything is possible in God's kingdom. That's what I love about Christianity and about serving God and loving God, is that there is nothing out of the realm in the next minute sitting here that could happen, that God could do. Someone could show up tomorrow with a $1 million check. And it happens. I mean, things are, anything's doable and possible in the very next moment. If my mind is on the blessed mentality, conveyor belt. Word in, faith out. Word in. The word doesn't prosper people if it's not mixed with faith in those who hear it. It's found in Timothy. No, I'm sorry. That's found in Hebrews. Hebrews 4, I believe. The word doesn't prosper if it's not mixed with faith. So I hear what God's saying to me about blessing and about sowing and reaping and giving, and then I speak it out. I believe it. I receive it. I receive it in my heart. And nothing can wrestle away the promises of God from my heart, because I know I'm His son and I have a right. Is if anybody's getting blessed today, it might as well be me. Okay, I'm going to take you to one more. Let's go look at Luke 12. We're still in Luke 12, towards the end of the chapter. Luke 12. Luke 12. Verse 42. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has." We need to be faithful to the will of God in our lives. In other words, we shouldn't be asking ourselves how God's going to get us money. We should be asking ourselves right now, how am I going to line up in His will today? Because it's in His will and in His faithfulness that God begins to deliver us. In faith, in our faithfulness to Him. Am I getting money in a way I shouldn't be? Am I doing something that I shouldn't be doing that's putting a curse on me? Am I asking God my next step for blessing and abundance? You know, He's got all the answers. When you know somebody intimately that has all the answers, all you have to do is ask the right questions. That's what my prayer ought to be, is, "Lord, what should I be asking you? Holy Spirit, tell me what to ask the Father." And then He'll tell you. And then you ask the right question and you'll get the right answer. I mean, He knows it all. He knows everything. But I just want you to see that one, verse 42 to 44, that, "And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward?" Everything is His. So I'm just a steward anyway. I could save up $1 billion, but it's all His. So if He says, "Give away that billion," I guess I don't have a choice, right? What did you say, God? I can't hear you. Someone's telling me to give away $1 billion, so Lord, you got to cut through that voice and get to me. You know? And lastly, Psalm 37. Now, there's many other scriptures on my list here, and I didn't get to them. There ought to be a part two here. Psalm 37, but they're good scriptures. And Psalm 37, verse 25. "I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off." You know, God will not forsake you if you are in a desperate, dire need right now. Financially, God will not forsake. And we need to factor in the angels. We need to factor in prayer. We need to factor our future if we are obedient to God and we are walking in the will of God. Then we need to factor in prayer. And I had one more scripture, and it says, it's found in Hebrews. It says, "For you have need of patience, for after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." So if He promised that He'll feed you and take care of you and meet your needs according to His riches in glory, then you need to understand that it says, "For you have need of patience, for after you have done the will of God." That doesn't mean be perfect. That doesn't mean never drink or smoke or... No. What is the will of God? How is He leading your life? Find the greater will for your life. Find the steps He's wanting you to take today and every day. And you will do that if you pray every day. Then God begins to lead you through your prayers. And after you have done the will of God, you will receive the promise. Do I have any reason to believe that God would lie to me about that and say, go do my will? But no, then I'm going to not give it to you. No. After I do His will, I'm going to receive the promise. I'm saying that anything's possible. Anything's possible tomorrow. Anything's possible the day after that. And the day after that. God will meet needs when you walk out in faith. When you walk out in mental understanding that you are a blessed person. It's called a blessed mentality. You'll never see all the birds dead down on the Capitol lawn. You'll never see that. You will never... David said, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. But the righteous man in our covenant, in the new covenant, the righteous man is a man of faith. We become righteous by believing in God and by having faith. God accounts our faith unto us as righteousness. Romans 4. Did you think you didn't have to sin to be righteous? Oh, you don't know the real doctrine of the New Testament. Yeah, preferably don't sin because it destroys your life. Because you still, there's no more law against sin. God removed the law. So therefore, we become righteous not by keeping any old law that wasn't for us. Anyway, we become righteous by believing in God and by having faith. So, this man, his children won't bake bread if he uses his faith. There are a lot of stories. I read this one story once about a guy named George Mueller who had an orphanage. He had hundreds of orphans there. And it was over in Europe, and he had trouble feeding them at times. And, you know, food would just show up. I mean, people just bring food at the worst possible time and just show up. He just uses faith. And I'm saying food, money, I mean, you know, the slang vernacular of money is bread. You know, whether it's food or bread, the money kind of bread or the food kind of bread, it's like God can do it and He can meet the needs and He can help us. So I'm going to pray and we'll be done. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that anyone in the sound of my voice, that You renew their thinking and that You help them and that they are full of faith now and that they're walking on a new heavenly plane with You and that they hear and they're not hearers only but doers. And I call this producing 100,000-fold in every hearer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.